Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Zach, Stephen A. mentioned get you some help. Paxson's built a couple winners in Chicago. Do you have confidence that your GM can get you the help you need?
They might speak differently, man, but, you know, I'm with the team, man. You know, I gotta put the team first. Their table, man. I gotta put the team first. But, you know, it's just the situation we're in right now.
That was as recently as Valentine's Day. Seems like forever ago for a lot of reasons, but that mattered. That was a watershed day. That's when something broke through, and sometimes it's not just the empty seats. There is a presumption, a preponderance of opinion that ends up actually getting to the people that matter, and it has mattered because we have Bulls regime change ongoing. This is a fluid situation. We still don't have job titles yet, but let's get the latest details from Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times. He is on Twitter at @jcowleyhoops, and he's with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. So, Joe, where are we right now in this ongoing process?
Well, I mean, the big piece is in place, and I think they're going to finalize that, make it official in the next couple days. But it's not done. I mean, this is a complete restructure. This is just not Gar and John are out and two new guys are in. That's not what this is about. This is landing that first big block, and they've done that, and there's more to do. I mean, you know, Michael Reinsdorf has been I talked about this 3 years ago that he was doing the business end of things first, going in each department, seeing what needs to be improved. And the business end is as solid as it's ever been. It's not been as quick as I would have liked Michael to have done, but I think he is very methodical when it comes to things like that and really wanted to do his homework and dab into an area that he wasn't very familiar with. And so I think that's why it's taken so long for them to finally reach this point. But they've reached it, and it's not done. And like I said, I can't stress that enough. This is a realization that they've been behind the times in what the NBA has become the last 3 to 5 years in most departments, and it has expanded beyond belief, whether it's having VP that just does player development, a VP that just does analytics, a VP that just handles salary cap. But you needed that first block to be put in place to go ahead and start that expansion in each department. I think that's where they're at. I mean, when you think about what the Bulls were, with just Gar Foreman and John Paxson and a couple of, you know, as someone once put to me, Gar's henchmen, sitting in a room and bouncing the same ideas off each other and a couple of those guys just being yes men, you see how exactly behind the times they were and why things were, the decisions were kind of head scratchers. So that's all going to change, and it starts right now with this hire.
What is his job title going to be?
I don't know if that's clearly been defined, but he is the main piece in deciding this department. So whether you want to put VP of basketball operations or some kind of president title on it, I don't think that's as important as that they grab the right guy as far as a guy that understands talent, a guy who's a great communicator. I think they need a more well-rounded cap guy. And I think we'll see that, a guy, more of a numbers guy on that side of things, because that hasn't been his strength. But that's, to me, that's minor. There's a bunch of guys like that out there. So the title isn't as important as the guy they have that's now creating these departments and building these departments up.
Do you have any names? Do you have a short list of preferences for a possible general manager?
No, I mean, I don't know if they've reached that point. You know, I know the names that have been reported, but Michael Reinsdorf has been doing his due diligence on this for months and been looking at different models of what he wanted this thing to look like when they sat a guy down. The interview process, I think people have to understand, it wasn't a clear, hey, what would you do when we make you VP of basketball operations? It was more of, what is your vision to route this entire thing? And it was, what would you do with this department and this department and this department? It wasn't just, hey, this is the spot you're filling. So I don't know if they're to that process yet where, hey, this is our general manager, this is our guy. I think they definitely have a list and definitely know what they want. But again, I don't even know if it's going to be the usual build of, this is just our general manager. There could be multiple people put in a place of a general manager, and one of them just takes on that role of, yes, I will be sitting down with the agents and I will be sitting down with players, the free agents. But that doesn't mean that that's where the power could sit.
Do you think are you talking to any players right now? And I'm really curious from their perspective, because as Will Perdue was just talking about how the roster is locked in, what's really exciting here is how every one of these players now could be looked at with a completely clean slate, and they can be viewed as getting a fair shot to prove what they could be without anybody else's preconceived notions or biases on them. I wonder how they're feeling right now.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to any players about this, and I don't think it, I think they still have to see what happens with the general manager, what happens with the coach. You know, I have reported that Jim Boylan has made it clear that he is obviously would like a chance to, make his statement, make his side of things, and I don't even know if that will be granted. I don't think you can kind of get into the how the players feel until they know who the guy they're working with is and who that coach is. Now, obviously, there's guys that have wanted I've reported all along that Lauri Markkanen wanted a change of direction, and starting with the top. He did not like the way the analytics department came up with this offensive system, how he was used in this offensive system. Some of it is his fault. I mean, he got a little bit pouty at times, it looked like, in games because he didn't want to be a spot-up shooter. And again, he could have changed that by being more aggressive and crashing the boards and putting the ball in his hands off the boards and initiating the offense. And I think he just got a little pouty in that way. Some of that definitely falls on him. I think the guy that is the most excited about this will be Lauri Markkanen, because I don't think, publicly he's never stated that's not his makeup. But privately, he made it very clear that it wasn't just a Jim Boylan problem. It wasn't just a analytics problem. He didn't like the way things were going throughout this entire organization. And the fact that it's changing, I think he's the one guy that you can tab and say, okay, this guy's probably got to be excited with this news today.
We saw a list of other names, Danny Ferry's name, Brian Colangelo's name, some surprising inclusions on this list of conversations. And I don't know how formal some of the conversations were, but who is advising Michael Reinsdorf in how he has been casting this wide net?
Initially, he just talked to other ownership groups and other owners and guys that he felt comfortable with in compiling some names. And again, some of the names that have been out there were not formal interviews. I reported that yesterday. And there's also guys that have been talked to that aren't reported and weren't formal interviews and could then be getting formal interviews or could already be on the radar for something. The Reinsdorfs don't show their hands when it comes to things like this. Jerry Reinsdorf, behind the scenes, has talked to ownership groups and owners he feels comfortable with and he has good relationships with. So Jerry has been involved. It isn't like the old man was just sitting back with a cigar waiting for Michael to find a guy that he can then pat on the head and say, okay, I like him. He's also been doing his due diligence and his homework, just kind of more behind the scenes. This is, you know, Michael was put in charge of a lot of the legwork, but that doesn't mean Jerry hasn't been involved. So, you know, that's the best way to answer that question is, you know, they've been doing this. You know, when I first broke this story on All-Star Sunday, the perception is, oh, everything looked so bad for them that weekend that they started this process. No, they started it earlier than that. It was just this was a chance for them to actually pull some guys aside, and they didn't have to use back channels because everyone was in town for that All-Star game, that All-Star weekend. So it gave them an opportunity to actually talk to guys face-to-face, and they took advantage of that. But this has been ongoing for a while. I think Michael understood this season especially that something had to change, something had to move. I don't know if he knew the scope of how big that would be, but I think he definitely knew at the start of the season that, yeah, it's time to start now putting my foot in this basketball operations pool like I have on the business end and start stirring things up.
How were they allowed? How did it just so happen that they got so behind the times so quickly? You know, you mentioned in passing in your story today and told us the Bulls have historically kept a small front office with only a handful of personnel wearing multiple hats. Why and how? It's not a secret what's going on elsewhere. It was clear what so many other teams were doing. Was it active resistance or was it passive? How did they allow themselves to atrophy from the business perspective?
I mean, that's a great question for Jerry Reinsdorf because this has been his choice. And, you know, he did this on the baseball side of things as well for years. It was a small room with one or two voices that actually carried weight. And at the end of the day, that those voices dictated policy. And the thing that's different with the Bulls, it was so dysfunctional of you know, Gar Foreman, and I've reported numerous times, I'm sure people are sick of hearing about it, but Gar Foreman becoming more obsessed with surviving than actually winning and attaching himself, making sure that he was in good graces with Michael and Jerry instead of just going out and doing his damn job. And John feeling handcuffed because he knew that Gar is attached to this. So even if he wanted to get rid of him or felt that Gar's reputation was hurt in the organization, he knew that Gar was a made man. And it just became just a circus. And, you know, Jim Boylan making sure that, you know, years ago that he was in good graces because he saw how Gar worked. So making sure that he was in good graces with the likes of Doug Collins and John Paxson and Michael Reinsdorf, even when he was an assistant coach under Fred Hoiberg, because he understood how the tree worked, how this dysfunction worked. So, you know, the room has been kept small because Jerry wanted it small. And I think it took way too long for them to understand that that's not how the NBA is anymore. And, you know, I could see that when you say, well, I've got six titles and did things my way, and, you know, why change? And you kind of get caught up in your own trophy case. And I think that's what happened far too long. And again, the one criticism I have of Michael Reinsdorf is I applaud the way when he and I spoke a couple times 3 years ago and we initially sat down and I had discussions with him for the first time in talking to a Reinsdorf in a decade, I was taken back and excited that he seemed willing to change. But then I started kind of getting concerned that the change wasn't coming quick enough. But, you know, everything he told me that day, he has slowly done. It just might not be at the pace I would have liked, and I'm obviously a Bulls fan that would have liked.
Joe, real quickly here, we're getting some breaking news from our guy Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports, who is going to be joining this show in about 45 minutes. He reports the Bulls haven't had a history of hiring high-ranking minority executives or front-facing figures, but the plan is to change that, sources told Yahoo Sports. Said the Bulls are hiring Denver Nuggets GM Arturis Karnišovas to head their basketball operations, and Karnišovas plans to hire a person of color to be the franchise's general manager, a league source told Yahoo Sports. 30 seconds, your thoughts on the significance of that.
Well, I mean, look, Jerry Reinsdorf is not afraid of diversity. So I understand what people are saying. I definitely think it's a travesty of what's going on in the NBA as far as African-American executives. I just don't know if this is the guy you could pin this on. And that's been talked about. I'm not surprised by that. And I've been touting, you know, Trajan Langdon last year and Shane Battier this year as a guy that should get looked at and get promoted. And so, you know, I don't put it, you know, I don't doubt that that's going to be the case.
Joe, thank you. Appreciate it. And always reading your stuff to get the latest. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, buddy.
That is Joe Colley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Coming up next, NBA expert, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. He's the guy that sat down and had that long-form conversation. We played some chunks of that. He knows Arturis Karnišovas and will give us his thoughts next. Dan Bernstein with you until noon, following this developing story of Bulls regime change on The Score.
It was a long night for us, so, you know, and probably I'm the guy that is well-known, you know, after I fouled out, sitting on the sidelines taking pictures of Dream Team. So that's
were you actually taking pictures on the sidelines?
Yes. You know, it's you know, you're looking at those athletes that, you know, you were as a kid watching, and, you know, that's the reason why you're playing basketball. And so I was sitting, you know, and, you know, nobody's taking pictures, and I'm, you know, sitting on the sideline, actually on the floor next to the next to the bench, you know, taking pictures.
And there is actually photographic evidence of Arturis Karnišovas sitting there on the floor with his camera taking pictures of the Dream Team after he had fouled out and he was playing for Lithuania. Dan Bernstein with you on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. And it's now our chance to talk to the man who was talking to Karnišovas on his podcast right there. He is Chris Mannix, senior writer at Sports Illustrated, on Twitter at SI Chris Mannix, with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Is this the right guy for the Bulls job right now, whatever the job title is, for running this operation? Is he ready?
Well, I think he's a very good hire. And I base that on, you know, the history he has in the league and the team that he's coming from. As you kind of look at the qualities of candidates, one of the things, you know, teams, and it's a smart thing to look for, is success in draft history, success of the team overall. And that Nuggets team is one of the deepest young teams in the NBA, has had a lot of success with international players, most notably Nikola Jokic. And Arturis has been at the center of all that. He is part of the fabric of that Nuggets team. So I think that's a positive in his ability to do the job. I think one of the questions, and it's a fair one coming in, is how does he respond as the face of a franchise? And this is a team that certainly needs a front-facing guy who's transparent, who can kind of start to rebuild the Bulls' image in a way, and that's something he hasn't had to do yet. But although you do know about him, I think it makes him a pretty strong hire.
You nailed exactly what my concern would be, that, you know, in Chicago, it's very easy for us to draw a comparison to Theo Epstein, for somebody who came in as the head of everything and was in charge of revamping an entire side of a professional sports organization. But Theo also has had this unique ability to communicate, silver-tongued politician style, sounding like, you know, FDR when he needs to. Karnišovas, English is not his first language. He sort of taught himself, as he mentioned, when at Seton Hall, when he got overwhelmed taking a history class right there. Does this mean his general manager is going to matter more in that regard? Does this mean that face and that forward presence might be a little bit stronger in the equation?
Well, it could be, depending on who he hires as the GM. But I don't think Arturis is going to shy away, you know, from that spotlight. He's a very willing talker and willing to engage on all matters. And as you could hear in my interview from him from a while back, I mean, he's plenty well-spoken. I mean, he's certainly articulate enough to be the face, a public face of a franchise. So I don't think he's going to shy away from that. It's just the only questions are the unknowns, right? I mean, if this team struggles and there's need to speak frequently about some of the decisions that they've made, which is stuff that the Bulls really haven't done much of in the past,
How does he respond to all that? But as far as his willingness to engage and the clarity of the things that he says, I think he can be really effective in that regard. And so I like it, you know, without knowing certain things, I like the way he comes across.
Where are the Bulls right now in the national conversation? This came up, obviously, when the All-Star game was here in Chicago, and it was, frankly, an embarrassment. It wasn't just the Fire Garpax chant that popped up on ESPN on Valentine's Day, but it was looking at where this proud organization happens to be right now. And we're going to see it now with the upcoming release of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan, the 98 Bulls, and getting a look at what it was, how crazy it was, and where the Bulls were as a worldwide brand. Where's the brand now? We can be sort of myopic here, in town stupid, for lack of a better term. From your perspective, from where you sit and the conversations you have nationally, how much do the Bulls still matter?
Well, they matter, and I don't think they're in a terrible position right now. I mean, they do have quality young players on that roster. They're not, you know, the laughingstock that the Knicks have become or Sacramento-esque in some of the mistakes they've made. They just, you know, they need some refining there, and they certainly need to build out that front office in the image of some of the more modern front offices in the NBA. I mean, Arturas is coming from a franchise that has great depth in what they've done with their front office, from Tim Connelly at the top. Arturas there is the GM. They've got some really quality guys right below him. So I think that's going to be a priority and should be a priority for Arturas and the Bulls going forward, to build out that type of depth. Because if you look across the league, the teams that have had the most success, they're generally teams that have that kind of structure. I mean, the San Antonio Spurs in recent years have been raided, but, you know, during their dynasty years, they had one of the deepest front offices in the NBA. You know, Justin Zanuck interviewed for this Bulls job. They have an incredibly deep front office in Utah. So I think to change the perception of the Bulls, one of the first things you do is to establish a really professional organization. And I think that requires you to go out, have not just one hire, but probably five or six level hires that really make you look like a modern NBA franchise.
Is there any name on a short list that you say it's time for this person to get that kind of job?
You know, it's hard to say because you don't know what that job is going to entail yet. I mean, there are some excellent, you know, assistant GMs out there. Troy Weaver in Oklahoma City is great. You know, Mike Zarin in Boston has been really good for the Celtics. But, you know, that's one of those jobs. I mean, look, Arturas was a GM in Denver. He wasn't the ultimate decision maker, though. That belonged to Tim Connelly, and I'm sure Arturas will be the ultimate decision maker in Chicago. So it's unclear. I think he's going to have to really explain what that job description is as his GM and how much power that executive is going to have before we get a clear idea of who would actually consider it.
We are talking to Chris Mannix, the senior writer at Sports Illustrated, here on the Dan Bernstein Show, Sports Radio 670 WSCR. The Scores. We're covering Bulls regime change. It's a long time coming, and it finally has gotten here. The presumption, and the correct one, is that Jim Boylan has coached his last game. Who would be the proper hire for the kind of business that Karnišovas wants to do to run the Bulls bench?
Well, I mean, if you think about where the Bulls are right now, if I'm Arturas, my first call goes to Kenny Atkinson. I mean, he would be my first, second, and third choice to run that team. I mean, that is a young team with some very early 20-somethings making up the core of the roster. And one thing we learned about Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn, he is excellent at developing young talent, both, you know, high-level guys that were drafted early and the low-level guys like a Spencer Dinwiddie and some others that weren't drafted quite so high. So I would run to him. And it makes some sense given the history of where he comes from. I mean, Mike Malone is, you know, has been a coach of the year type of candidate for the last couple of years with Denver. I mean, he was a longtime NBA assistant who had a bad ending in Sacramento, an undeserved ending in Sacramento, and revitalized himself on that Nuggets bench. Kenny Atkinson would fit that mold. So to me, Kenny's going to have some options out there, but I'd be chasing him hard if there is a coaching change.
It's interesting because when he became available, I thought the same thing, and I was lamenting the fact, and I wrote a column lamenting the fact that because the Bulls were so slow to act, they were going to lose out on the opportunity to get Atkinson because they weren't moving around their front office. They weren't going to have this chance. And then the league hit pause, and it may just be that because of the coronavirus, because of these once-in-a-lifetime circumstances we're facing, that there's opportunity in this, that the Bulls are acting now. Maybe this actually helps them get in on Atkinson in a way that I never thought possible.
Yeah, it certainly gives them – I don't know if it's a unique opportunity at this point because, I mean, the Knicks could jump into the fray if they wanted to because their front office is pretty well set now with Leon Rose running the show. But while things are quiet, I mean, I would really go after him hard. He's just an excellent developmental coach who got an absolutely raw deal with what happened in Brooklyn this year. I mean, that team went from a 20-win team in his first season to what, you know, 40-something in his third in a playoff appearance. He revitalized D'Angelo Russell so he can work with high-level young players that have some problems. He just makes too much sense for the Bulls not to really aggressively pursue right now.
What do you think it's fair regarding expectations for the Bulls' current roster, which for the most part appears like it's what it's going to be with an upcoming draft pick, however that works this summer? But we now know that all bets are off with how these guys are scouted, with what their traits may be, what positions they play, and how they're envisioned. But it's not a roster lacking in overall talent. It just hasn't been properly coached, and perhaps it's underdeveloped. What do you think is an expectation for where the Bulls can be and when?
Well, I think the playoffs should be something they should target as early as next season. I mean, you have, as you mentioned, you've got some good young players on that team. And look, there are people internally in Chicago that thought the beginning of this season, the playoffs were a reasonable expectation for that team. So there's no reason to believe that another year of development for their young players, better health, just some stability within the franchise, that they should make a run for those playoffs. I mean, the 7-8 seed in the East, I mean, they're under 500 records right now. So it's not like you'd have to achieve a 45-win mark to get into the postseason next year. So I think that's got to be the goal. And it's such a big stepping stone for young teams. I mean, you get into the playoffs, all of a sudden you get that kind of experience and you take some big steps forward with those young players. So I think with this group, if they get the right coach and they sort of have that right level of stability, you should be a playoff team as early as next year.
Talking with Chris Mannix on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Lastly, what do you think of Adrian Griffin as a possibility, seeing that he and Karnišovas were college teammates?
Yeah, it's a good name. And, you know, Griff has been widely regarded as one of the best assistant coaches in basketball over the last few years. The last couple of years, I've written sort of that assistant coach power rankings type of piece for SI. And he's always been at or near the top of the list. He's got a great coaching skill set and that he's very good with young players, works closely with them in his various stops. But the coaches I talk to about him think that he has, you know, kind of that demeanor. And that's just as important when you're coming in as a head coach, that you have the demeanor to be able to manage not just your roster, but the personalities that go with your roster. So that's another really good name. And obviously the connection to Arturas makes it an even stronger likelihood.
Chris, really appreciate the time. I want to urge people to listen to your podcast, the Crossover NBA Show, obviously reading your stuff at Sports Illustrated. Thanks for joining us today.
You got it, Dan.
That is Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated. The news is the Bulls have a new man at the top of their basketball organizational structure. He is Arturas Karnišovas. They are ongoing in this restructuring. There are going to be many, many more hires, and there's going to be a radically altered basketball business that is going to be done by the Bulls. Usually at this time, we get you ready for the midday midway. I think we're going to continue talking the story of the day right now. We have not grabbed many phone calls. This is a good chance for that. We're going to bring back some sound as well of Karnišovas in his own voice, talking about how he does business and what he's learned from the contacts that he's made around the league and the examples that have been set for him. This is the effect, finally,
of fans being heard. I think it is the results on the floor. I think it is empty seats. And I think it is the expression, the vehement expression, and sometimes rude, frankly. But that's how you get heard sometimes. That's how you break through. It's how you are able to tell ownership how you feel. And some of it is seen in their internal polling, their discussions, their anecdotal evidence. But this is a day that's been a long time coming for a lot of people who have felt that this needed to be done. And finally, the Bulls themselves have realized that that is the case. And we have reached that day. So we're going to hear some more from Arturis Karnišovas. And I want to find out what you think at 312-644-6767. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Well, it's been a journey. I've been in basketball all my life, but I never could have imagined that I'm going to end up where I am today. And I'm very fortunate to be in this position. So, I mean, being an 18-year-old, Lithuanian kid that didn't speak any English, came here and played for Seton Hall and got an education and then played pro overseas. I mean, it's been a long journey.
And an ongoing one for Arturis Karnišovas. That was from the Crossover podcast with our previous guest, Chris Mannix. Karnišovas is now in charge of Chicago Bulls basketball. And if John Paxson has a thought, it will only matter if Karnišovas wants it to. Gar Forman, who was supposedly scouting in Siberia, as Joe Cowley mentioned a couple of weeks ago, may be continuing to do that, or maybe not, but it would be at the behest of the guy who's now going to be making all the decisions. And I didn't want to bury the breaking news here. I definitely wanted to get to this as well. And the phone number, 312-644-6767. If you are a Bulls fan who is celebrating this change today, feel free to celebrate here with us. This from Yahoo, and it'll be our next guest, Vincent Goodwill, who's coming up just after the top of the hour. But here's what he writes. The Chicago Bulls haven't had a history of hiring high-ranking minority executives or front-facing figures, but the plan is to change that, sources told Yahoo Sports. The Bulls are hiring Arturis Karnišovas, had their basketball operations. He plans to hire a person of color to be the franchise's general manager, a league source told Yahoo Sports. Said he is the first outside hire to lead basketball operations. The agenda is to bring in a black general manager. And that's no small thing. These optics matter. It's really important. And the NFL has tried and tried and tried to deal with this, with the ill-fated and oft-abused Rooney Rule. And the Bulls already were facing backlash for the initial search for this position, whatever this position actually is, we finally got a job title, for that not including a minority candidate. And then, of course, everybody settles into their well-worn arguments. Well, you know, then it just becomes tokenism. And, oh, that means you're not hiring the best person. Just hire the best person. I think it's really important that this league do what it can to make sure that coaches and executives are getting every opportunity, just like the NFL does. It's a matter of being in the conversations. It's a matter of being in the social circles. It is a matter of being recognizable and comfortable and familiar in a way that sometimes racial lines have kept people from being, and that's just a fact. And I think it's a terrific idea for the Bulls, for a league that looks like it does, for a league that is as incredibly diverse racially, internationally, and culturally as it is. It's a step in the right direction for the Bulls to embrace that opportunity with the general manager spot and perhaps well beyond. Got an email here from Amir, who is a Bulls contributor going way back. And he writes, of all of the major systemic changes that this Bulls organization needs, the one thing I'm hoping for more than anything from this leadership change, the first one in my adult life, God, that's amazing, is an end to tolerance of incompetence. The Paxson administration too many times tolerated incompetent and strange behavior at all levels, whether it's Vinny Del Negro's coaching, the subsequent tie-pulling, Jim Boylan's press conferences, the Luol Deng botched spinal tap, the Derrick Rose reluctance to play after he was medically cleared, weird passive-aggressive press releases. No more nonsense. No more incompetence. No more tolerance of unprofessional behavior.
Yes. Yes, that would be fantastic. And it has been way too long with way too many things in that regard piling up on this list. I want to mention, too, as we talk about this breaking news we got from Vincent Goodwill, that breaking news on The Score is presented by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. I still get the text line being full of skepticism regarding John Paxson's role. All I can tell you is what we have been assured, and you've been hearing it all morning, from everybody that we've talked to, from Will Perdue and Joe Cowley and all those who are saying, well, Paxson's still there. He's still pulling the strings. He's not. He's not. He may still have a job title. He may still be somewhere on their left side of their letterhead. But he is not going to be in any position of authority unless Arturis Karnišovas cares what he thinks. There's no influence unless the new guy in charge wants it. It's up to him. Even if Paxson wants to get on the phone and call Jerry Reinsdorf over and say, he's screwing this up. He should be doing this. He should be doing this. They're handing this guy the power now to say, John, you know, not interested. I think it is a fan's nature. It's a Bulls fan's nature to always be doubtful. And I've mentioned it too about needing a clean slate. I think you're getting one. I think it sounds like from every assurance that we've gotten that there will be John Paxson involvement in anything only to the extent that Arturis Karnišovas wants it. A tweet here from Adrian. And by the way, you want to send a tweet to me personally, you can at Dan_Bernstein, or you can send it to at Bernstein670 for the show. Ask, what do you think about Michael Finley as general manager? Okay, I know that Mark Cuban has been pushing Michael Finley out there as a possibility. Shane Battier is another name. Trajan Langdon is another name. There are all kinds of possibilities to fill that role as GM. We'll just have to know how active the general manager position is going to be, because on some levels it's more administrative and it's much more of that connective, be on the phone, talk to your counterparts all the time, have ongoing conversations. That it also may be more involvement with the media and more talking about, here's what we did on draft night and here's why we did it. I think Michael Finley, Battier, Langdon, well, there's a lot of names that would be in a perfect position to do that. And if you're just joining us regarding the coach, Chris Mannix immediately said Kenny Atkinson, and I believe he said that's choice 1, 2, and 3 right now because of where he's been with developing teams and where this Bulls roster is, that he'd be a terrific hire. I thought that the moment he became available, I thought it, and I got all my thoughts out of my head because I'm like, oh my God, Kenny Atkinson's available, and damn it, the Bulls are not in a position to do anything because they haven't made their front office changes yet. Well, look where we are now. Now they are. They have made their front office changes, and Kenny Atkinson is still available, so go ahead and get that done. Rudy emails. He says, don't get me wrong. It's a good day for the Bulls, but it's so lame to hear everyone saying John Paxson wanted this or John Paxson's cool with this. How long was he back there waving the white flag? John, are you going to fix this? John, no. Fire me. Put me out of my misery. What took so damn long? Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not interested in the narrative of anything that John Paxson had to do with this. I think it's great that he's painted as willing to fall on his sword and willing to step away, and as Will Perdue put it, and you know, John's his dear friend, taking a loss and understanding that he wasn't able to get this done and wasn't able to win a championship for all the reasons that we know all too well. But I don't care how willing somebody is to step away. Doesn't matter. It's up to the owner to bring in somebody to take it over and get the job done and do what he has to do. If you're just joining us and if you missed some of this sound, I want to go back and I want to replay something that we played early on in the show from the Chris Mannix podcast. And it is Arturis Karnišovas talking about his philosophy of building an organization, about how it works, about what he does based on what he's seen. And I think it's really important that we hear him explain what's going to happen in the next days and weeks and how this is going to be built out as he has his conversations with his lieutenants and the people that are going to come in this massive front office restructuring. And it sounds like it is going to be that. It's not just a couple of job titles. But this is Arturis Karnišovas describing how an organization should be built.
I think you take away from each situation certain things, but you build your own you know, kind of world and how you would do things. You don't become them, people that you work for. I think you just take things away and, you know, apply it in your own setting. So I think I would be, you know, obviously different by doing things. But, you know, inclusivity for me is a huge thing, is, you know, hiring, you know, intelligent, passionate people, you know, it's another thing of mine. And, you know, just being fair with people and put them in a position to do their jobs, you know, not to, you know, micromanage them, you know. So it's just, I think with personnel and surrounding yourself with people is the way you do with players. You're trying to project what they're going to be in 2-3 years. And hopefully you select, you know, personnel that have a potential to be, you know, GMs also in the future. Mm-hmm. And you're going to help them to get there. And then be proud when they, you know, obviously accomplish that. So
it gets harder and harder to project players, doesn't it, with how young they are when they're coming to this league?
It is, but it's fun. And, you know, you have your kind of database in your head and your mistakes and your successes. And you just take away from each situation and, you know, what I said wrong, or, you know, about the player that I said he's going to make it and he didn't. What were the reasons? You know, in success stories, you know, how, you know, there's a lot of luck obviously involved, and you just make informative decisions and then hopefully that will stick, and, you know, the luck is part of it.
Good to hear him admit that luck is certainly a part of it, because it absolutely is. And if I heard him correctly, he said, and bring in players who themselves could also be general managers someday. That may limit your pool, but it tells you about the character and makeup aspect that we know is so important beyond the measurables and beyond some of the scouting stuff. But that is Arturas Karnišovas, the head of Bulls basketball operations. 312-644-6767, that's the number dialed by Charlie in Lincoln Square, and he's on the Score. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I think today, more than anything, Bulls fans are excited. You know, optimism is certainly a word that comes to mind, but for me, the overarching feeling I'm experiencing is just one of relief. You know, it felt like we were kind of screaming into the void as a proud fan base to the Michael Reinsdorf and John Paxson. But this is a new start. Like you said, it's a clean slate. It feels that way. You know, I admit I was one of the skeptics who thought maybe John would kind of have some kind of behind the scenes, you know, always have Michael Reinsdorf's ear. But everything I've heard Arturas say, and I got to do a little more research on him, but it's certainly exciting, and it seems like it will be his show. And he seems to be very, very well respected. Seems like a smart man. It's very exciting. And it's great. It's a relief, quite honestly.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. And when you say shouting into the void, you weren't. And sure, Eventually the fan was heard of. I think it's really satisfying to know that you as a fan were heard, whether you were heard through your absence in the building or however we get heard now via social media and responding to polling that some teams do or that's done independently. I guess it's also satisfying to know that you weren't shouting into the void.
I was proud of the fan base for starting the chant on live TV on ESPN. I was proud of the fans in attendance of that. I think that was the tipping point, quite honestly.
We said so at the time, Charlie, and we appreciate the call. We knew that. There was something about that day, something about Valentine's Day, where that felt like a watershed moment.
I got to put the team first, but, you know, it's just the situation we're in right now.
Stop.
Yeah, and Zach LaVine, the poor guy involved in the crossfire right there before they're shouted down, Zach LaVine had that uncomfortable smile on his face. He's like, y'all are terrible. But he knew, it was clear that he knew what was going on. It's clear that the players have been unsatisfied. And for as much as you say, yeah, who cares what Lauri Markkanen thinks about how what he says the team needs a change, NBA players matter. Come on, man. NBA players hold more power than players in any other sport. NBA players have done a better job being meaningful in the business of their game more than in any other sport, of being able to create super teams on their own, of holding power over organizations, holding power, individual star players holding power over multiple organizations. It absolutely, absolutely matters what players think. And if you've got a Bulls roster now that's reinvigorated to come in and do everything they can do and understand that they've got eyes on them and ears to them that appreciate them more than can work with them, rather than telling you to punch a damn time clock or have them run wind sprints and do push-ups. And this, the fact that the Bulls can actually get an entirely new coaching staff, maybe an entirely new training staff, who knows, but we will, over time, as this is rolled out, know what they're thinking, and we're going to see it in the moves that they make. We're going to start hearing it when we start getting the names that are involved in all of these positions. But feel free to dream big. Feel free to think big. Feel free to dream big. And they may not be able to bring in Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or somebody like that until the time comes. Although Cowley does point out that you're going to have, 2 years from now when Jokic is a free agent, he's only going to be 28, and maybe he's going to want to reunite with Arturis Karnišovas. So feel free to start looking at the clock and think about things like that. But it's a good day for you, the Bulls fan. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Yahoo Sports NBA writer Vincent Goodwill. He broke the news earlier today that the Bulls are going to be targeting a general manager who is of color, which is probably the proper thing to do, because why not? And they're in this day and age, in this league, it would be about time for the Bulls to be diversifying the look of their front office. So we'll talk to him about that and everything that's going on. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.